Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Bijana balaba kini baru dalde.
Bijana balaba iwaya dali.
Bijana balaba kini baru dalde. Nanna braja janu ranjana. Yamuna te raumana chari. Yamuna te raumana chari. Vishnupad, Paramahansa, Paramahansa, all Sutta, Sutta Shi, Shimad. His Divine Grace, Abhaya, Chatanada, Bhaktivedanta, Goswami, Maharishila, Prabhupada, Kijai, Iskan, Founder, Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, Kijai, Anandakoti, Vaishnava, Vrinda, Kijai, Namacharya, Srila Vilas, Thakur, Kijai, Prem se kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Kijai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopikapata Sayam Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Kijai. Vrindavanam Kijai Maturidam Kijai Jagadathasami Kijai. Yuvanamai Kijai Shrimati Lassi Dev Kijai. Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Kijai. Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Okay. So today is the glorious appearance day of Lord Vamanadeva and Jiva Goswami. So Om Gana Trivandra Shah. Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshur Unmeritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Okay. So the story of Lord Vamanadeva's appearance is told in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, Lord Vamanadeva is one of the famous Dasha Avataras. That means the 10 main incarnations of the Supreme Personality of God in this material world. And as described in the Bhagavatam, they're unlimited incarnations, just like the waves of the river coming. And Krishna, and Prabhupada also explains that Krishna has incarnations in every species of life. That means 8,400,000. And sometimes he's combining different species, so there must be more than 8,400,000. What do I mean by combining half man, half lion? That's a combination. That's a species that's not one of the species of life. So, anyway, so getting to the story, once upon a time, there was the whole pastime of Prahlad Maharaj and Lord Nrsingadeva and Hiranyakashipu. And after Hiranyakashipu was killed by Lord Nrsingha, Lord Nrsingha guaranteed Prahlad Maharaj that he would never kill any of his descendants anymore. Finished. What happened is that Prahlad Maharaj had a son. His son's name was Virochan, and Virochan's son was Bali Maharaj. And Bali Maharaj was fighting with the demigods. Very, very interesting, because he was the head of the demons. So even though he was the head of the demons, he wasn't a demon. It was interesting. So you may ask, why did he fight for the demons? Why didn't he fight for the demigods? Well, that was his duty. You know, family. What do they say? Blood is thicker than water. You ever hear that before? So it's his family. He had a family duty. And he actually, you know, when the demons are in charge, these are not rakshasas. You know, when you talk about the demons, generally they're pretty dharmic too. So they're not just like going to wipe everybody out and everything like that. That's you're talking about people who are low class. These demons were really high class. And in many cases, they were worshipping Vishnu for ulterior purposes. So, but they're just descendants of Diti, you understand? That's why they're called demons, Daichas. So there's the Daichas and Danavas. Danavas are also descendants of Danu. And so, you know, you got some good people amongst each group. Just like you have Kashyapa and Kadru. Kadru is the mother of all the snakes. Did you know that? Vinata is the mother of Garuda and Aruna. And so you have Kashyapa and Kadru, and it's not that all the snakes are bad. Can anyone think of a good snake? Vasuki? Any other ones? Anantashesh. He's pretty cool. You know, he's Balaram, you know, so. So it's not that all of a demon's kids are bad. And Prahlad Maharaj's kids are actually pretty good. So anyway, so what happened is that Bali Maharaj, descendant of Prahlad Maharaj, was fighting with the demigods to sort of gain the heavenly planets. This fight actually occurred after the demigods had cheated the demons by taking all the amrit. It was actually not the demigods' fault. You just blame Mohini Murti for that. The incarnation of the Lord. She was the one who cheated, and the demigods just took advantage of her cheating. So there was a big fight after that, and Bali Maharaj was actually killed. But fortunately, if you're killed, it's good to have a good guru. And his guru's name was Shukracharya. Shukracharya had this Mrityu Sanjeevani mantras. It wasn't the same thing that Hanuman brought from the mountain. It was actually a mantras. And he brought Pali Maharaj back to life. And the demigods at that time, they weren't respecting Brihaspati that much. You know, they had, because they get very proud sometimes. Brihaspati would walk into the demigods' assembly and Indra would be sitting with his wife, Sachi. And Indra wouldn't even say, "Hi, Gurudev." He'd just be sitting there being praised. That's the problem with being praised or having a high position. We find that also with Rama Harshana Sutta. He was giving Bhagavatam class and Balaram walks in and he didn't offer obeisances or even stand up, and so Balaram killed him. So the same thing happens with the demigods. You know, sometimes they disrespect Sukracharya, sometimes Indra commits offenses by going after some sage's wife. Sometimes he even kills devotees like that Vritrasura, who happened to be a demon but a devotee at the same time. So they have some problems. So the demons were able to take over because they were given armor by Sukracharya, horses, chariot, bow, and actually Prahlad Maharaj encouraged the demons. He gave them his garland, a victory garland. It's called Vijayamala, you know, just go for it, my grandson. You know, let's see you conquer those demigods, teach them a lesson. I mean, this is also another point you should understand. The fights between the demigods and the demons is a very chivalrous type of thing. You know, sometimes they're making deals with each other. Can anyone think of a deal they made with each other?
Let's make a churning.
Churning of the milk ocean. You know, sometimes, let's make a deal, let's churn. And the demons, of course, chose the head of Vasuki because they thought heads are more auspicious than tails, but not with snakes. With snakes, it's the opposite. The tail is actually more auspicious than the head. So, anyway, they had the bad breath of Vasuki there. So anyway, so Bali was attacking with the power of his grandfather's benediction and his spiritual master's benediction, and he won. Brihaspati said to the demigods, "You better get the heck out of here because the demons are more powerful." And Bali took over heaven. He became Indra at that particular point. And all the demons were in charge of heaven. And so he decided to do 100 horse sacrifices, because that's how you remain as Indra. You do 100 horse sacrifices. Sometimes you find stories in the Bhagavatam of different personalities like Prithu Maharaj trying to do 100 horse sacrifices. Then Indra gets really upset with that and he starts stealing the horses. And Indra, in order to steal the horses, puts on different guises as sannyasis. You know, he invents these different bogus sannyasis. That's a story in the Bhagavatam too. So Aditi, who is the mother of Indra, she was upset to see her sons, you know, just like bums in the street now. They were just lost the heavenly planets. So she went to Kashyapa, her husband, who is also the husband of Aditi, you know. So, you know, you got a man with a lot of different wives, you know. Some of the wives are mothers of snakes. Some of the wives are mothers of birds. Some of the wives, you know. Interesting family, isn't it? Imagine, you know, you give birth to a snake, you know. But this happens on the heavenly planets. Now, I don't really think they give birth the same way that ladies do on this earth planet, you know, by getting pregnant and bigger. So I think it's a different methodology there. Yeah, different methodology. Oh, Adibao. No school today. That's good. You're liberated. So Kashyapa was approached by Aditi, the mother of the demigods. And actually, at a previous time, Aditi had approached Kashyapa because she was angry at Indra. And she said, "I want a son who can kill Indra." So Kashyapa, this is a different story, but I'm just mixing the stories. So Aditi, the mother of the daityas, the demons, got a benediction from Kashyapa. He was told to perform this payavrata, the same thing Aditi was actually told to perform in this story. And she got the benediction that she could have someone who could kill Indra unless she made a mistake in her Payavrata. Mm-hmm. And that way she would give birth to a son who would be the friend of Indra. So, famous story. So now we're talking about Diti, not Aditi. So Diti actually had pregnancy. Indra was watching to see if she made a mistake. In the whole performance, she made a mistake because she fell asleep at the wrong time. Indra entered her womb, cut the embryo into seven pieces. The seven pieces were crying. And then he cut again. Seven times seven is 49. And then there were 49 Maruts that were born at the same time. Indra popped out at the same time. And they were all friends because she had made a mistake. Anyway, so getting back to the story of Lord Vamanadev, Aditi was told by Kashyapa, you perform the same sort of thing, the Payavrata, that means living by just drinking milk, and doing other austerities too. And she did that, and she did it successfully, and Lord Vishnu appeared with four arms before she gave birth to Lord Vamanadev. And he said, just worship your husband. That's nice. Instruction for all you ladies. Husband worship. So, just worship your husband because I am inside of him. That means in the semen of Kashyapa. So the plenary portion in Kashyapa, the plenary portion of Krishna, plenary means on the same plane. You know, you hear this expression all the time. In other words, it's Krishna. Advaita Chuta Nadi Renanta Rupa. Same God, as we explained many times before, but in a different mood, different manifestation, but it's the same person. There's like, and I explained this millions of times before, it's like a man in the office or a man at home. Same person. So the plenary portion, same plane, that means personality of Godhead, of Lord Vishnu or Krishna, was transferred into Aditi's womb, and Lord Brahma was praying to Aditi in this particular point because Krishna was in her womb. And then on this particular day, which is called the Shravana Dwadasi, it was in Dwadasi. Dwadasi means 12th day. Ekadasi means 11th day of the moon. You got two phases of the moon for every month, right? You got the Krishna Paksha and the Gaura Paksha. The Krishna Paksha is when the moon's getting darker. The Gaura Paksha is when the moon is getting lighter. And so you got, you know, different days, like Ekadasi, Dwadasi, Trayodasi, Chaturdasi. In Fiji, and actually in other places, all of you have the habit, when it's Krishna Janmasthami, you think 8 days is the Krishna Janmasthami. Isn't it? But it's really not what it means. It's good. I mean, it's good. It gives you an excuse to worship Krishna for 8 days. And not eat meat for 8 days. So so we like that. But I'm telling you, technically, you know, and actually when we talk to devotees about the Ashtami, they think every one of the 8 days is the Ashtami in Fiji. Okay. But they'll never learn. I mean, it's just like, I say, you know, Krishna Janmashtami. So, yeah, Krishna Janmashtami started 5 days ago. You know, I think you must be following a different system than me, you know. Because the Ashtami is the 8th day of the moon, not that you celebrate. I mean, otherwise, on the Nrisimha Chaturdasi, you'd have to celebrate 14 days of Lord Nrisimhadev's appearance to be consistent.
Same they do with Ramnami.
Yeah, 9 days. 9 days of Lord Ram's appearance. Oh my God, I mean, so many days. I mean, it's good. There's no problem. Because they don't eat meat on those days, right? Mm. So anyway, we should have a longer period like that. Anyway, you know, 100 days or 1,000 days.
365 days.
365 days. You know, so... So anyway, but that's what an Ashtami, Dasami, a Chaturdasi, or whatever it is. Just remember that in the future. But still, don't disturb people in their devotion. So, he was born with actually four arms on the Vijayadasami. And then he changed into his little dwarf form. Now, actually, it's described as a dwarf, but he was actually a midget. There's a difference between a dwarf and a midget. So, I mean, actually, the word dwarf, although we hear dwarf, is not really the description. Because a dwarf means, when you have a dwarf, the proportions are more squashed. Mm-hmm. You understand? So we could actually say midget incarnation would be more precise. Although, you know, it's not precise to say dwarf, because he had perfect proportions. Mm-hmm. Does everybody understand that point?
Yeah.
Like a midget is just like someone really small.
Mm-hmm.
A dwarf is someone squished. You know, the proportions are squished. I have one disciple who's very small. His name is Gopal. Mm-hmm. Anyone ever met him here? No. Yeah, you met him. And he makes sure that he is the cynosure of all eyes. That means he makes sure everybody knows him in the Hare Krishna movement. Isn't it? He's very out front. He compensates. So anyway. But he's nice. He's a nice devotee.
Where is he from?
America.
Oh.
America. You know, he's... nice, but he's been a devotee for a long time. And he's married to a small girl from Rajasthan.
Oh.
His wife's name is Krishnapriya, and she's an artist from Rajasthan.
Oh, wow.
So what happened is that, anyway, I guess we can tell the story. Hopefully he's not watching. That he was in India one time with me, and she's very small. She saw him and says, he has to be my husband. It's like a love story. It's true. I mean, and then she is initiated by Lokanath Maharaj. So one of Lokanath Maharaj's disciples approached me and said, my god sister's in love with your disciple. You know, it's hard to find a match. So what happened is we performed the marriage at the Radha Damodar temple in Vrindavan.
Wow.
Yeah, and myself and Lokanath Maharaj were there during the marriage. Anyway, it's a marriage made in heaven. So there's someone for everybody.
Don't worry.
Your soulmate is somewhere. All right. So enough humor. So what happened is that, of course, Lord Vamanadeva assumed this midget form, and he was given a sacred thread by Brihaspati. He exhibited his Brahman effulgence, you know, extremely bright, like billions of suns, and immediately. And he was given by the other demigods umbrellas and other things like that. And then immediately went to the sacrifice of Bali Maharaj. And Bali Maharaj, being a good Vedic demon, you know, which he was actually a devotee, immediately received him, because when a Brahmin comes to your house, a Titi Narayan, especially if it's a Brahmin, or he comes to a sacrifice, you've got to stop everything. In fact, it's mentioned that even if you're worshipping the deity in the temple, if a Vaishnava comes and there's no one to receive him, you stop the deity worship. There's that injunction. If there's no one else. But let's say you're on the altar and the only person there, and an exalted Vaishnava comes and he says, you know, I'd like some prasadam, you have to leave the deity worship and serve him. That's actually more important, because we're supposed to be Majjhima Adhikaris rather than Kanishtha Adhikaris. Majjhima Adhikari means that we see Krishna in everyone's heart. And we're able to serve all living entities. It's not that we neglect the deity worship, but that's actually one of the aspects of deity worship. You serve the deity's devotees. Anyway, so, and also in every temple, Prabhupada said there should be at least 21 plates of prasadam. This is Prabhupada's injunction. So that, when not just for the devotee, 21 extra plates. So when anyone comes, there's always prasadam for them. Prabhupada said that. And, you know, it's hard to convince the temples, you know, they just don't listen to me when I tell them this. They say, it's not practical. That practice goes, everyone, all the pujaris are packing and taking everything home with them. Yeah, there's nothing left. You know, so, you know, someone comes, you give them prasadam. Sweet words, prasadam, a sitting place. You know, on Sunday at our temple, we ask who is here for the first time. We give them a package of books and everything like that. Welcome, have everybody welcome them. We'd like to welcome Mr. and Mrs. Patel from wherever. And people like that. Anyway. So, the first thing, so Bali Maharaj washed Vamanadeva's feet, asked him, you know, what do you want? Do you want a wife? A land? Money? Whatever. I mean, that's the point. You ask a guest what he wants. I mean, similar thing happened when Viswamitra Muni came to see Dasarath. That's what I said, what do you want? And Mr. Rita Mooney said, your son. And that's what I said, well, you can have me, you can have my army, you know, anything you want, not my son. And then Viswamitra Mooney said, you know, I thought you were come from a line of, you know, cultured people, but now I'm seeing something different, that you're acting like a Malecha. And so Vashishta, well, the guru of the family, had to tell Dasarath, you know, it's all right, he'll protect Ram, don't worry. Ram was only 16 when he was taken at that particular point. So, but Vamanadeva actually had some etiquette too. As a guest, he started to glorify Bali's ancestors. He even said, you know, glorified Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, who was like the grand uncle. A great-great-grand uncle or something like that. And Hiranyakashipu was the great-great-grandfather. And he said, and he also glorified Prahlad Maharaj. And then he said, actually, all I want is three steps of land. That's it. Bali said, that's not a very intelligent. You know, I'm the king of the whole universe. You know, I got Indra's position here. I can give you anything in the whole universe, a planet, you know, land, gold, anything. You know, just ask for something. Lord Vamanadeva said, look, if I'm not satisfied with three steps of land, I will never be satisfied with anything, which is true. If you're not satisfied with just what you absolutely need, you know, bare minimum, then no matter what else you have, you're not going to be satisfied.
Was there a reason why you asked for land, Guru Maharaj, only three steps of land?
Yeah. You'll hear the reason in a second.
Oh.
So he asked for three steps of land, and, you know, three steps, you know, that's enough for me. I'm small. And then, actually what happened is that his spiritual master of Bali Maharaj said, don't give it to him, Shukracharya, because he could see, he had some spiritual vision. He had two eyes at that time. Shortly, he was going to lose one of them. So he could actually see that this was Vishnu. Now previously, Shukracharya was advising Bali to worship Vishnu. You know, Satyanarayana Katha? You know what I mean by that? Yeah. Yeah, Satyanarayana Katha? I think you all know what it is. And also, you know, Om Jaya Jagadish Hari, Swami Jaya Jagadish Hari. Give me some money, make me Indra, Swami Jaya Jagadish Hari. Anyway, so... So Bali was already worshipping Vishnu. Shukracharya was worshipping Vishnu. But when Vishnu said he wants everything, just like, you know, in the Hare Krishna movement, you know, you may go to a Hindu temple and everyone's worshipping Vishnu. And then the devotee comes and says, you know, can you join the Hare Krishna movement? You know, chant Hare Krishna. We go, no. I mean, actually, we experienced this in one particular part of India, which I'm not going to mention. That practically everybody in this part of India, all the Hindus, are devotees of Krishna. I won't mention what form. Anyway, they're devotees of Krishna, of Radha and Krishna, and they really love Krishna. They come to the temple, but then they won't let any of their children be devotees. Mm-hmm. So all the pujaris in these particular temples in this particular state of India are all from Bengal instead of from estate. It's interesting. Don't guess. Someone may get offended here. Actually, I'll mention it's Gujarat. You know, I've seen that. You know, I give many examples of this. Anyway, won't tell the stories. But you know, it's just like you worship Krishna, but can I have your son? You know, even if the son wants to be Krishna conscious, oh, I got to join the Hare Krishna movement. No, we'll send you away, far away from those Hare Krishnas. So anyway, so getting back to the point, so Shukracharya had that mentality, and he said, "Don't do it. It is Vishnu. You take everything away." Shukracharya said, "You made a promise, but promises don't have to be kept if it endangers one's welfare or one's life." And he said, "Lying is okay. Don't listen to this, ladies." This is Shukracharya speaking, not me. You know, don't blame me for this. Shukracharya says, lying is okay if you're flattering a woman, if you're joking at a marriage ceremony, earning money, protecting life, cows, and Brahmins. He's right about protecting life, cows, and Brahmins. But he's, you know, it's not that you should flatter people and lie. You know, that's wrong. Bali disagreed. He said, look, the earth cannot bear the weight of a sinful liar. Shukracharya said, if you feel that way, you're disobeying the order of the spiritual master, you're committing one of the offenses I'm chanting Hare Krishna. He didn't say that. But he said, I curse you to lose everything and be bereft of opulence. So the curse actually worked. But it worked in Bali's favor, actually. So Bali said, no, I'm going to go ahead. And so he offers, in order to offer the three steps of land, there was this pouring from the pitcher some water, because that's the typical way to do it. So Shukracharya tried to stop this offering of water from the little pitcher, and he became little tiny Shukracharya, and he was in the spout of the pitcher. And then what happened is that Lord Vamanadev took a little piece of grass, Kusha grass, and said, there's a problem, we got to open up, you know, plumber, open up the spout, and he, boom! And Shukracharya, from that point forward, became blind. That's why you see him like this. I'm not sure which eye it was, but it was one of the two eyes. He was blind. And he also tried to stop Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement later on in Jagannath Puri. When Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was present, he invented this incarnation of Shukracharya, I forget his name right now, he invented a bogus mantra. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur started preaching against him. And because this incarnation of Shukracharya had so many followers in Jagannath Puri, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's life was in danger. And what happened is that Bhakti Vinod Thakur just like sent him away immediately before anything happened. Because there was getting ready to be riots in Jagannath Puri. So Shukracharya, at this point, he becomes the enemy of Vishnu. Complete enemy of Vishnu. So then, Lord Vamanadev took his three steps of land. Here's the reason he took three steps of land. One, basically stepped over the whole earth. That's first step. Second step, the whole universe, and poked a hole in the universe as he did it. Second step, and as he poked a hole in the universe, the Ganges came in. And he had a foot bathing. He performed his own foot bathing at that point. Because the Ganges came in, and Lord Brahma also collected the Ganges in his Kamandalu, that means his water pot at that point. And he worshipped the Ganges and Jambavan. Remember Jambavan from the Ramayana? He was young at that point. He was the son of Lord... Actually, he's the son of Lord Brahma. And so he circumambulated the whole universe and circumambulated the Ganges, too, and circumambulated Bali Maharaj. Circumambulated Lord Vamanadev. And then The followers of Bali Maharaj tried to kill Vamana, and some were killed, and Bali called them off. You know, and so then, Garuda, the bird carrier of the Supreme Personality of God, had tied up Bali with ropes of Varuna, and Lord Vamana said, "You're cheating. You promised three steps, and you weren't able to fulfill your promise because there's no more place to go here. You know, we took up the whole universe and kicked a hole in the universe. You know, what are you going to do?" And Bali said, "Place your third step on my head. That's called Atma Nivedanam. You know, the nine processes of devotional service, the final process is surrender, oneself. Atma means self, means soul, body, mind, words, everything." And so he exemplifies or personifies that final process of the nine processes of devotional service. Because each and every process of devotional service has a particular acharya. And he's the acharya of that, Atma Nivedanam. So, Pallad came to witness, and he praised his grandson, and he was chastised, and he was pushed down by Lord Vamanadeva's feet to Sutala. And Lord Vamanadeva agreed to become the doorkeeper for Bali Maharaj and Sutala. So Bali was also blessed that you will become injured in the future, but in the meantime, you'll be in Sutala, and I'm going to guard, make sure you don't escape. The demigods retook heaven, and Vamana, who remained there in heaven, still remains in heaven, and Indra worships his younger brother. He's the younger brother of Indra. Upendra. You understand? The word Upendra is Upa Indra. You understand? Younger brother of Indra, you know, smaller Indra, whatever, of Indra. So that's why he's called Upendra, as well as Lord Vamanadeva. And after this point, I mean, it's not part of the same story, but we'll tell it in the Bhagavatam. After this point in the Bhagavatam, the demons just like were completely demolished. And they did not know what to do. So they wanted to go somewhere where they could regroup and regain their strength. Guess where they came to? The Earth planet. And they took birth as Kshatriyas on the Earth planet. Like you have Kamsa, who is Kalanemi, and Viprachitti appeared as Jarasandha. Viprachitti was previously killed by Lord Vishnu in a fight, but anyway. So all the demons were devastated, these poor demons. And so they came down to the Earth planet and took over. And then Krishna had to take birth. I mean, he didn't have to, but he decided to take birth on the Earth planet. And then that's the whole incarnation, Lord Krishna's incarnation, or appearance, avatar, on the Earth. So all this is, all these different stories are connected together. If you go to the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a very nice chart of all the family dynasties. And you'll see how practically every story of every king or Prajapati, or whatever, is all part of the same big chart. You have anyone seen that in the ninth canto? I actually printed that out in our temple in the United States so people could see how every character in the Bhagavatam is actually connected in the same family. You know, it's a big family tree, like roots, you know, and they didn't have to do any genetic testing. So, you know, all, in other words, the stories are all connected, the philosophy is all connected, everything in the Bhagavatam is intricately connected with everything else. You know, these stories should not be seen as those like completely separate stories in the Bhagavatam, because they're part of the whole point of leading up to the appearance of Lord Sri Krishna. And then later on in the Bhagavatam, you have the disappearance of Lord Sri Krishna, and there's lessons there. You know, and, you know, Uddhava, Maitreya speaking, and Markandeya Rishi, his pastime. So everything is connected. So I guess we should speak a little bit about Jiva Goswami too, right? So that's Lord Vamanadeva. And as far as Jiva Goswami is concerned, here's my notes. So I have notes on all these different days, so that's what I'm referring to. I'm not reading the Bhagavatam directly. You know, so because throughout the years I make notes on the different appearance and disappearance days because I always give class on that. So, Jiva Goswami, of course, was the nephew of Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. He was the son of Anupama, the brother of Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis. And he was the youngest of the Goswamis. So his ontological position is as Vilas Mundri, one of the small prepubescent girls in Vrindavana service, Srimati Radharani. And he actually got darshan with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was a little baby in a place called Rama Keli. And that's where Rupan Sanatan Goswami and Anupama first met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was on his way to Vrindavan, and he stopped there, and they had blades of grass in their teeth, and approached him in a very humble way, in spite of being extremely educated persons working for the Nawab Hussein Shah. And they were able to tell Lord Chaitanya, don't go to Vrindavan. They said, don't go to Vrindavan because you got thousands of people following you. It's going like a circus. Why don't you go to Vrindavan in a peaceful way? So later on, Lord Chaitanya just went with one devotee, Abalabhadra Bhattacharya, to Vrindavan. So, you know, Vrindavan is meant for, like, peaceful meditation. So, his father and uncles left to join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And, of course, his father actually passed away on the way to Vrindavan, or Jagannath Puri. And childhood, he was worshipping Radhakrishna deities. He was dreaming of dancing with Gaur Nitai, and he was always feeling separation from his father and his uncles because he was left in the care of his mother. Of course, his father and his uncles just were completely absorbed in Lord Chaitanya's service. Of course, his father was a devotee of Lord Ram. And he was so completely devoted to Lord Ram that even when Rupan Sanatan asked him just to chant Hare Krishna, he refused. He said, Ram, 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 Sita Ram, Sita Ram. You know, so everybody has their worshipable deity. You know, we have to respect that. It's not that we just say to someone, oh, you're just a devotee of Lord Ram, you're just a devotee of Lord Narsingadev. We should appreciate that. It's all the same person. Keshavadrita Nada Hari Rupa. Keshavadrita Rama Sharira. That's from Jayadev Goswami's prayer, the Dasha Avatars prayer, which is in the Gita Govinda. Anyway, then he went to Navadvip to see Lord Nityananda, when he was older, of course. And he went to Srivasa's house, although Srivasa wasn't there at that time, and he was fed by Sachi Mata, and he was taken on a tour of Navadvip by Lord Nityananda. That would be nice to go on a Navadvip Dham Parikrama, and Lord Nityananda taking you around. Then he was sent by Lord Nityananda to Kashi to study with Madhusudana Vachaspati, who was a disciple of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Then he went to Vrindavan because his mission was to become extremely expert in Sanskrit, in grammar, logic, rhetoric, because he is considered to be basically the foremost scholar in India of all time. Even the Mayavadis consider him to be the foremost scholar. There's divisions in certain universities, schools in certain universities that are named after him. In Benares, it's like that. So when he went to Vrindavan, he was given Radha Damodar by Rupa Goswami to worship. And these deities of Radha Damodar were made by Rupa Goswami. Some of the deities in Vrindavan were installed by Brajanava, Krishna's great-grandson. And some of them were actually fashioned by Rupa. He probably gave the design to a Stapati to do. And his service was to proofread Rupa Goswami's works. And he rendered menial service to Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, and proofreading Sanatan Goswami's works. So in other words, it's not, even though he was so educated, it's not that he immediately started writing and He actually served the other Goswamis, particularly Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. He accepted Rupa Goswami as his guru. And one story about Jiva Goswami is that there was a conquering pandit who came to Vrindavan, because in those days you would challenge people, the Brahmins would challenge people in philosophy and see if someone could defeat them or not defeat them, and there would be a Jayapatra certificate given to those who won. So he challenged Rupa Goswami to a debate, and Rupa Goswami didn't want to waste his time, and he said, all right, I'll just sign your Jayapatra. Get the heck out of here. Don't bother me. So he went with his Jayapatra to Jiva Goswami, and Jiva Goswami was incensed, I mean angry, to see this guy, Rupa Narayan, just like bragging. And he said, all right, why don't you debate with me? And so within about, I guess it was 7 days, he defeated him. It's described that Rupa Narayan was so much defeated, he had a call of nature in the middle of the debate. He couldn't control himself. I think you understand what a call of nature is. And then he went to Rupa Goswami and he said, I've defeated this person who offended you. And Rupa Goswami said, you're too proud. You took sannyas too early in life. So he said, you don't deserve to be in Vrindavan. So he banished him from Vrindavan. And Jiva Goswami was living in Mathura in a tree. And this was for about a year. And then Sanatana Goswami interceded on Jiva Goswami's behalf. He went to Rupa and he said, Rupa, you're not following the instructions of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Rupa said, which instruction? And he went through the list and finally he came to this instruction, Jiva Dvaya, which means compassion for Jiva souls. And Sanatana Goswami said, that's the one you're not following. And so Jiva soul, Jiva Dvaya also means compassion for Jiva Goswami. So. So it's very tricky. So then he accepted Jiva Goswami back. Jiva Goswami, in his teachings to his disciples, he generally taught Swakya Ras instead of Padakya Ras. Swakya means that Radha and Krishna are married. And Padakya means Radha and Krishna are not married. So there is Swakya Ras in Vrindavan. There is actually a section of Goloka Vrindavan where Radha and Krishna are married. And there's another section where they're not married. And the reason he didn't teach the highest to his disciples is because they weren't ready for it. So just see, direct disciples of Jiva Goswami weren't ready for it, and we're thinking, you know, we're ready for it. Yeah, we're ready, you know, we're on the Raghunuga platform, Bhava Bhakti, you know, here we come, Prema. You know, we got trouble. So, also another story is that in this place called Nidivan, that's the sleeping temple of Radha and Krishna, it's one of the forests there in Vrindavan, he gave Emperor Akbar a vision of Krishna Loka. Wow. Woo, Krishna's pastimes. And then another story is one time there was a debate, who was more glorious? Which is more glorious, the Yamuna or the Ganges? And he, with philosophy, he established that the Yamuna was more glorious because she's the consort of Krishna. And he made Akbar, Akbar was very favorable to the Hindus because he married a Hindu princess, actually. Yeah. But Akbar wanted to bring the Hindus and the Muslims together. And he was trying to come up with a amalgamated or a combined religion that didn't have deity worship. So, anyway, that's happening today, too. So, anyway, he was promised by Akbar. Akbar promised never to hunt in Braj. Jiva Goswami also taught Shyamananda Goswami, Narottama Das Thakur, and Srinivasacharya. So he trained them up in Krishna consciousness. Although he wasn't their guru, he was their siksha guru, and he was their main training. And he sent them out to distribute books. They went to Bengal, went back to Bengal. There's all stories about, especially Srinivasacharya, and the books of the Goswamis. He established the Radha Damodara temple in Vrindavan, which our founder Acharya, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, stayed in. Prabhupada said that's his eternal residence in the Radha Damodara temple. And Jiva Goswami appeared in this world in 1513 and left in 1598. Actually, also, the properties in Radhakund were in his name. Even though it was Raghunath Das Goswami who really was the Mahant of Radhakund, but Raghunath Das Goswami, because he really took these extreme vows of renunciation, he didn't want anything in his name. And Jiva Goswami had, you know, he was just as renounced, but it wasn't his pastime to show that extreme renunciation. So he didn't take any of those things in his name. He's best known for composing the Shatsandarbhas. That's the six sandarbhas about everything, actually, beginning with what's called the Tattva Sandarbha, which deals with what we call epistemology. In other words, how do you know what you know? Why do we believe in what we believe in? Which is what Srila Prabhupada talks about in the beginning of the Isopanishad. You know, the different methods of receiving knowledge, like prachaksha, you know, direct perception, or anuman, that's called induction, where you see, come to a conclusion, seeing different instances. So that's the Bhagavat, that's the Tattva Sandarbha. The second one is the Bhagavat Sandarbha, which talks about the distinction between impersonal Brahman and localized Paramatma, and just talks about the spiritual world, discussions of deity worship. The third one is the Paramatma Sandarbha, description of the Paramatma, an explanation of the Supersoul, how the Supersoul exists everywhere, and the Supreme Personality of God. It has all these different opulences. The fourth Sandarbha is the Krishna Sandarbha, in which Krishna is proved to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And some of his pastimes are told there. Fifth Sandarbha, and actually Radharani is described in the in that Sandarbha, the Krishna Sandarbha. And the fifth one is called the Bhakti Sandarbha. And there's a discussion of devotional service, how it can be executed in different levels, like Vaidhi Bhakti and Raghunuga Bhakti, and distinction between Raghunuga Bhakti and Vaidhi Bhakti. And the sixth one is known as the Priti Sandarbha, which is a complete thesis on love of God. You know, what is love of God and what does it mean? Description of different rasas, and ultimately gets into description of Vipralamba, the highest understanding, the highest interaction between Radha and Krishna. And Jiva Goswami also composed other books, one of which I'm working on right now, which is called the Gopal Champu. Gopal Champu is an elaboration on the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. It goes into more detail with each story or each chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's really amazing. It's really amazing. You know, like Krishna's flute is described in detail, and how Krishna deals with the gopis and the rasa dance is described in detail. It's not a super intimate book, but it's more detailed in the 10th canto descriptions. So that's the Gopal Champu. So anyway, so Jiva Goswami, he is the foremost scholar in Gaudiya Vaishnavism. So, actually, perfect timing. Any questions or comments about Jiva Goswami? Or Lord Ramadev, yes.
You say that Vamana comes in one of the avatar. Can you say avatar when Vamana appears?
Yes.
Many avatars, like Leela avatar,
Guna
avatar.
Yeah. He's a Leela avatar. Means he's having fun. In one sense, all the avatars are having fun. All the Vishnu-tattva avatars, it's fun. And they also can be, you know, he's not a Purusha avatar, obviously. He's not a Shaktivesh avatar. He's not a Manvantara avatar. He's not a Guna avatar. He's not a Yuga avatar. So that leaves only one. He's a Leela avatar. Yeah. The word avatar means to descend. You know, ava means to go down, tara cross. It literally means a down crosser. Literally, you know, down crosser. Like you have Also, the word Tirthara comes from the same Tirthara, you know, anyway, means to cross over. It's like a bridge. It's to cross over. So a Tirtha is a place where you can cross over from the material world to the spiritual world. That's a Tirtha. And so avatara, yes, even Krishna is an avatar, because Krishna descends to this world. And also you can say incarnation. The word incarnation is quite interesting because it means to take. It's not really a good word to use in relationship to Krishna, although we do use it. It means to take a body. Just like we have the word reincarnation, to take another body. So really, Krishna doesn't take a body. Ajopi sana vyatma bhutanami shiropisham aprakritim swamadishtaya sambhavami atma maya. He comes in his original form. He's not taking bodies like you and I. Or as chakjwa deham. We chuck out our body at the time of death. Chakjwa deham purajama naityam mameti sarjana. So really, I mean, the word incarnation, we use that word for lack of a better word, but technically, you know, analyzing the word, it's not that fantastic to use. I like the word avatar better. Because, you know, avatar means to come down. You know, in the spiritual world, there's no avatars. There's expansions. Plenary portions and portions of plenary portions. Like Lord Vishnu in the spiritual world or is not an avatar, because that's not coming down. You have to come down to be an avatar. That makes sense? Is that they're the different, you know, different appearances of the Lord, expansions. Anyway, it's important to use precise language. Any other questions or comments? Yeah.
Is Deva Soul a plenary portion of Lord Krishna?
No. Jiva soul is not plenary portion. He is part and parcel of Krishna. Mami Vangsa Jiva Loka. If we were a plenary portion of Krishna, I wouldn't be sitting here today.
You'd be sending.
I'd be doing a lot of my past. I'd be expanding myself. And, you know, I wouldn't be driving around in any old car either. Particularly Krishna Chandra's car. maybe Govinda's car I'd drive. No. Now, the jiva soul is of a particular quality. He's a different tattva. There's tattva traya, which is three different tattvas. There's the energy, the shaktis of Krishna. There's Krishna, you know, Vishnu Tattva, that's a category. And there's also Jiva Tattva. Those are the Tattvas. What was I going to say about the energies of Krishna? Yeah, Jiva Tattva and Vishnu Tattva. Oh, yeah, I was going to say something about the Tulsi prayer. Sometimes people say, well, we should say Krishna Bhakti Pradeya Devi, Satchavachai Namo Namaha. But we're actually. First of all, the mantra given to us by Prabhupada is Vishnu Bhakti. We don't really have the right to change a mantra. And secondly, when we're referring to, we say Vishnu Bhakti, we're referring to the category. Krishna is Vishnu Tattva. You understand? Vishnu Tattva is the category of God. In other words, it's like saying Krishna is God, Vishnu is God. So Vishnu Tattva, it's the Tattva. You understand? We say the Vishnu Tattva personalities are like Krishna, Balaram, and of course Vishnu, obviously, Narayan, Vamana, and Sesha. I mean, there are some expansions of Sesha that are not Vishnu Tattva either. There are some are Jiva Tattva. Little technical here. So, any questions? Other questions? Yes.
Where is Sutala?
Lower planet.
Is it hell?
No. There's actually some really nice lower planets. There's like subterranean heavenly planets. It's like going to a nice nightclub, you know. where the light is actually from the hoods, the snakes, yeah, the jewels, actually the jewels in the hood. So it's like a nightclub, you know. You got black light and everything. You know what black light is? You know what black light is? No, no one knows what black light is. Anyone here know what a black light is? I'll tell you what it is. I mean, I have definitely not from my generation. We use a black light sometimes on the altar. What it is, it's a fluorescent light, and it makes certain colors just like very bright, like effulgent.
Neon?
No, it's not neon. It's black. It's like... Anyway, it's just like... Especially it makes like the purples and blues shine. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, you see it in bowling. So you go bowling. Then
It's like a light, and if something's colored blue, purple around that spectrum,
enhances
those colors, so they're effulgent, and it appears to shine. So that's it's extreme blue, extreme violet actually. That's what a black light. And we used to use those. You know, the hippies. We used to use those. You know, everybody had in their dormitory room a black light and a poster, and you know, a psychedelic poster. No, you don't know what that is. And it would shine. That's what a black light is. And so that's like what it's like in Sutal. It's a heavenly planet. It's not a bad place.
Is it also true that some of the lower planets are actually more opulent than
Svarglo? Yes, that's right. That's right. You know, they're not hellish. They're opulent. Opulent. But the sunshine doesn't what? And we read the Bhagavatam. Yeah, you can definitely go there.
Yurudev, I have one more question.
Yeah.
Is there a significance of these numbers like Ashtami, Navami, 8 and 9 and Chaturthi, 14?
Yeah. There's some Vedic significance. You know, you're talking about numerological significance. Yeah, that's not my field of expertise, but I know that there's some significance in certain numbers. The interesting thing is, actually, this is interesting about deity worship. You know, generally people offer three of something. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada said you offer three to an enemy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 3 sticks of incense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Prabhupada said, I'm just wondering, why is everyone offering 3 sticks of incense? I prefer they offer no incense. But anyway, so... but it's...
That's true.
I'm just wondering, why is this three sweet balls on the plate and everything like that? Prabhupada said, there's actually a letter from Prabhupada said, you offer three to an enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah, but incense is three.
Incense is three. I was just wondering, why? Why three?
Five
is fine. Five is an auspicious number. One is an auspicious number. Five is an auspicious number.
I think that, does it mention in the
Nalda Panchatur Rudra? Yeah, one usually. One, the incense is, I mean, why offer three? Because it's hard to breathe with three, at least for me.
Yeah, that's too much.
It is too much.
Yeah.
Just offer one. Plus it's less expensive, you save money. So...
three types of...
Oh no, there's three types of energy. You know, threes. There's a lot of three stuff. Three is not an inauspicious number, but probably just said the tradition in India is they offer three to an enemy. So I was just wondering about that. But you know, there's the three worlds, the three modes of nature,
and misery.
Threefold misery. Well, threefold misery. Very auspicious. So
three energies.
Yeah, the three energy, three tattvas, three energies. Vishnu Shakti Parabrahma Shitrakya. Yeah, so there's a lot of threes. Three is not. Yes, the trident of Lord Shiva, Trishira, Trimurtis, you know, Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. So, anyway, so I don't mind three. But When it comes to incense, I do. Maybe it's just like, that's a personal opinion. Anyway, so...
One last question.
Yeah.
Sandarbha, is there a meaning to the word sandarbha? Is it like a description? Sandarbha. Like the sandarbha.
Yeah, satsandarbha.
Does sandarbha mean something? Sandarbha? Is it a collection or is it a discussion?
I don't know. It's a good question. Sandarbha. Sandarbha.
I think it is a grammatical combination of the words.
Which words?
You know, when you speak about that, the words, what we're using that context. Like a...
No, san means together in Sanskrit.
Sangame, sang.
Sangha, together. Yeah, together. Yeah, sangha. Oh, you are saying sangha. Sangha means together, yeah. Like Sankirtan, Sangha, yeah. Yeah, I didn't understand the question, so. Anyway, so just like, you know, Sundarban in Bengali, Sundarban means the place where the Ganges River meets the ocean. It comes together. It's called the Sundarbans. You know, you ever heard of that before?
I've heard of the Sundarban Forest.
Yeah, that's where the Ganges meets the ocean, so it's like together. Ban means like forest. Sundarban means like the forest of together. You understand?
Yeah.
So that answers your question.
Thank
okay.
You.
Time to go. All right. Thank you very much. Happy Saturday. It's Saturn Day. Oh my God. Saturn is auspicious for devotees. I told you the story about Hanuman and Saturn, didn't I? Shani, Shani, you know, Shani, Saturn, Shani, actually, is, you know, you go through this period in life, this is my Saturn period, so Saturn came to, I didn't tell the story, I thought I told it, Saturn came to Hanuman and said, it's time for your Saturn period, Hanuman said, oh, I accept, sit on my head. And then Hanuman put a big weight on top of his head and Saturn was crushed. And he said, save me, save me. And Hanuman said, all right, then leave me. So when you worship, the point is when you worship Hanuman, Saturn only lasts for a few seconds, the Saturn period, so you don't have to worry about it. Okay, and that's how we know. All glorious to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Let everybody see. Here's everybody in the audience. There are a lot of people. It's a big temple, you know. It's one of the Maha temples in ISKCON, you know. I mean, we probably have more people for class than the temple does today, right? It's pretty good, you know. Home program. Okay.